When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. All of those Jesus followers who had watched him die, and then watched him return alive, and then watched him be lifted out of their sight, there they were in Jerusalem again, figuring out what comes next. Even at the moment of the ascension, just before he disappeared from their sight, Jesus' followers asked, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this the time when you will kick the Romans out?" And Jesus said, "Listen, you're just not going to know God's timeline. So let that one go. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." And with that, Jesus was gone. They returned to Jerusalem, and then they were constantly devoted to prayer. So when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. There is still a lot they didn't understand about what Jesus had come to do. They probably disagreed about all their ideas. There was a lot they were told they couldn't know about what God had planned. But they came together constantly, as if that was the one thing they were sure about doing, the one thing they could agree upon. And when the day of Pentecost came, things went wild. We heard so well in children's time already about these two different images of the Spirit. The traditional symbol for the Holy Spirit is the dove, serene, docile. You can tame a dove. It might softly sit with you on your hands, as this image shows. But Celtic Christians imagine the Holy Spirit like a wild goose, noisy, erratic, unpredictable, and certainly nothing that we can tame. Both of these images are beautiful. I think of the Spirit like a dove descending on Jesus at his baptism with a voice saying, "You are my beloved." But on the first Pentecost, the Spirit rushes in like a wind, divides like flames, and pulls tons of bewildered people in from all directions, speaking all languages. And then the noise of people speaking about God's deeds of power in a language each listener can understand. This is wild. This is unpredictable. This was like nothing that had happened yet to this little bunch of Jesus followers. There was to be no taming of this Holy Spirit. They could only hang on and see where it would take them. And you know, it's a good thing, because how else could the church have been born out of a group of mismatched folks who were confused about who Jesus was and what God was doing, and who were hiding away in a prayer room? From the beginning, there were plenty of people who didn't take this movement seriously, saying, "These people are drunk." It's kind of a wild and unpredictable thing we do here, being the church, caring for each other and praying for our so-called enemies and giving our allegiance to a rebel-rousing first-century Jew who preached good news to the poor and marginalized. It's kind of wild, bringing all of our mismatched selves together in one place, and to proclaim that we are the body of that same Christ living in the world. It is wild, and it is nothing we can do on our own. We can try as hard as we like to make ourselves the church, but only the untamable and unpredictable Holy Spirit can make it so. Only the ongoing presence of Christ in our midst can possibly help us to hear each other in the languages we understand. Sometimes it may feel wild and chaotic, and we might prefer serene and calm. But the Spirit can move both ways, many ways. Maybe the Holy Spirit can take us on a wild goose chase, leading us by paths we don't know to the next new thing that God will do with us. The Spirit moves in all kinds of ways. So here we are, together in one place. Let's dare to watch for the Spirit to arrive. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, descend on us. As a comforting dove, as an untamable goose, as wind and flame and hope and power, weave us together and make us new. Amen.